Well, good morning. It's Thursday, and we are here to talk Florida Panthers hockey on Locked On Panthers. It's going to be a great day. We've got listener feedback coming up a little bit later in the show, and we definitely have some thoughts on what they have to say. We've got some things to talk about, some coverage issues here in South Florida. No, I'm not talking about T-Mobile or Verizon's coverage. It's a different type of coverage. We're going to talk about that today as well. And we're going to talk a little bit about tonight's game against the Vegas Golden Knights. My name is Josh with PantherParkway.com. And with me, as always, is my good friend and yours, Frank Rikas.
Good morning, Panther fans. Welcome to Talk Back Thursday. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Panthers. I'm Frank Rikas, owner of PantherParkway.com. You're listening to Locked On Panthers. We are on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Every single day. Well, at least every day this week so far, Frank.
You said it.
But anyway, hey, well, happy Thursday. Happy game day. And we've got a couple things to talk about. I mentioned that off the top of the show, but I think probably the topic of interest today is going to be about Florida Panthers coverage. So, Frank, before we get into it deeply, I want to just kind of give a brief recent oral history of the coverage the Florida Panthers have received in the South Florida media over the last couple of years. We all know that for years and years and years, the Miami Herald, the Sun Sentinel, even sometimes the Palm Beach Post all had regular beat writers that covered the Florida Panthers. In fact, most of them traveled even to all of the games, not just covering home games, and covered the Florida Panthers. More recently, we had Harvey and George as kind of the dynamic duo of newspaper coverage for the Florida Panthers. George Richards ultimately leaving the Miami Herald, but returning a year later as the beat writer for The Athletic, Miami, covering the Florida Panthers. However, in that time, there was obviously a lack of coverage, and the Sun Sentinel stopped really having a beat writer. They still talk about the Panthers a little bit, but it's usually AP stories or something like that. And coverage kind of waned a little bit. Obviously, Jameson doing a great job with FloridaPanthers.com. But, you know, that's a little bit of state-sponsored media there, Frank. So it's a little different. But that's kind of been the recent coverage. It's been great to see some other guys step up for some other local TV stations and radio stations. And, of course, Aaron Brown also joining George at The Athletic. And, you know, we got this little website we call PantherParkway.com. It's got coverage and stuff like that. But, you know, the coverage of the Panthers has kind of been hit or miss in South Florida, if we're being honest, over the last couple of years. It's definitely the stuff The Athletic has produced has been fantastic. But as far as local media other than them, it's been hit or miss as far as the coverage goes. Now, all of that to say this. We didn't really get into it yesterday. And afterwards, in fact, we said, why didn't we talk about this on the show? But the Sun Sentinel published their, I guess, game recap, you could say. It was kind of just a real small piece in the paper about the Florida Panthers game against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday night. And there was something interesting about the take that the Sun Sentinel had on the Panthers game against the Maple Leafs. Now, hey, Frank, do you remember what was the score on Monday night? Do you remember?
You mean Monday night's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah. You know, the blue and white and, you know, original six, those guys.
Yeah. If my memory is correct, the Panthers were losing, but they ended up winning by scoring four goals in the third period, and they won 5-3.
Oh, the Panthers won 5-3. Now, let me just ask you this, Frank. Were you watching the game?
I saw Mark Pisick get his first career NHL hat trick, of course.
Okay, first of many, I'm sure. Well, apparently the Sun Sentinel was not watching the game because they published in the paper a picture of Sergei Bobrovsky's getting a goal against, and it said, no net presence, too much net present, like a Christmas presents.
Huh.
And then it says Maple Leafs 5, Florida Panthers 3. Now, that's wrong. The Panthers won that game. And they're not just wrong, they're being cocky about it too, because they actually made a pun, Frank.
Yeah.
They made a pun.
Yeah.
No net presence, like, I feel your presence. Too much net presence, like Christmas presents. Like, not only did they mess up with putting the score in there, but it wasn't just a box score in the Sun Sentinel. That you could maybe forgive, though it's still wrong. But they made a pun. I mean, somebody went out of their way to not watch this game and yet commentate about it in the newspaper. And it's just ridiculous. I think it's shameful that a local paper would just not even watch the game. And not just any game, Frank. Not just any game. A huge game for the Florida Panthers playoff aspirations as they challenge the Maple Leafs, who have been basically right now their only competitor for a playoff spot in the Atlantic Division. And the writer doesn't even finish the game. So, Frank, I know you're rearing to go. I know. Hold me back. Hold me back. Thoughts on this catastrophe?
When I first saw the headline on social media, and I was at work, and I took a few minute break to get away from what I was doing just to kind of see what was going on in Twitterverse, I looked at it and I'm like, what? And I'm like, is this some kind of joke? They're talking about a game in the past and they're posting something, making a comparison, you know? And then I scrolled a little bit more and I'm like, holy cow, this is an actual article about last night's game. And these buffoons actually think that the Panthers lost 5-3. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, I'm going to read exactly what I tweeted. This is sports journalism at its worst. I know you can't expect to be perfect, but for God's sakes, how about at least paying attention to what you produce? Also, it would be nice for the Sun Sentinel or for Sentinel Sports to issue an apology to the Florida Panthers and the fan base. I mean, how does the editor let this happen? Who's watching the store, as you would say, and how can you make such a grotesque mistake? I don't understand it. I just cannot comprehend how a large newspaper like the Sun Sentinel can allow this to happen. And it just goes to show the lack of professionalism by the paper. I'm astounded how awful this is, and it's a really bad take, especially when the team is on the up and rising. We're getting a lot of attention, and this is, I guess, it's attention, but it's not really the right attention, and it's not the attention that the Panthers want. It just makes them look stupid. I don't know what else I can say.
Absolutely, Frank. It's one of those deals where it's not just the fact that they put the wrong score. Again, I could be forgiving of that a little bit. I could say, you know what, like maybe somebody misread it and input it wrong. But this wasn't just the wrong score. I mean, they made a pun. It was supposed to be an article. It was supposed to be a think piece or something to get a sports fan to laugh a little bit or think about it. So it's just crazy. I hate the fact that we even have to talk about this, but it makes us look bad.
Yeah.
It makes the South Florida media look bad. It makes South Florida sports look bad. It makes the Florida Panthers embarrassed to be covered by, or I guess I should say not covered by a local paper. And it's just crazy that they haven't been giving the Panthers their due. I mean, the Sun Sentinel and the Miami Herald write 3 million articles a day about the Miami Dolphins. And they can't like bother to make sure they get the score right for the Florida Panthers. Like, I guarantee that they're going to have a ton of coverage, even about the Miami Marlins this year. But the Panthers, you know, get, you know, nothing. It's just kind of shameful, honestly.
And you know, you mentioned all these articles that they're writing about the Miami Dolphins. I don't read a single one of them. I mean, to me,
well, I don't think anyone does.
To me, I really don't think that. it's a relevant media anymore. It's just, I don't know. And I'm scrolling through Twitter as we speak, and there is no retraction or apology yet.
Yeah, there won't be.
And there won't be. And you know what? You know, you're going to continue to leave it there, or maybe they pulled it. I mean, I don't know what it is, but, you know, if you're afraid of drawing attention to yourself by apologizing, well, it's the right thing to do.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, even guys like Steve Goldstein putting shameful, you know, on it, on Twitter. I mean, that just goes to show you that, you know, if you get Goldie mad at you, you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because he doesn't get mad at you.
No. So, I mean, it's just crazy. And I just hope that they, somebody that has some say over there hears about it. I don't know how that happens, but I'm just, I'm bummed. I'm bummed for it having happened. And again, it's not a big deal, I guess, one time, but it's systemic of the issue.
Right.
Which is that the Panthers are not given the respect that they deserve. I mean, the Dolphins are terrible. The Marlins are probably going to be terrible. I know they made a bunch of moves, but they're going to probably be terrible. You know, the Heat have been good, surprisingly, but that's unexpected. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers have been consistently having their best season maybe ever. And, man, very little coverage. So it's just, it's sad. But, you know, we can't do anything about it except continuing to root for the Panthers and not subscribing to papers who don't cover them.
That's it. That's all we can do. I mean.
Okay, Frank. So today is a very special day. Do you know what today is?
It's Thursday, February 6th. It's the first Thursday of the month.
Well, I mean, that's important maybe for some people. But what's important for us is it's Thursday, and that means it's Talk Back Thursday. Now, we got a few voicemails, but it was something very interesting this time because we've done this Talk Back Thursday segment a few times. And what was interesting is that almost all of the voicemails kind of had the same theme. They were kind of asking the same question or had some of the same thoughts. And so looking through them, I decided instead of playing all the voicemails because it would take time and people just kind of asking the same thing, I thought this one guy, Nick Fairbanks, who actually is a friend of ours, Nick, I thought, really summed up the question. So let's go ahead and listen to this voicemail, Frank, and then we can chat about it.
Hey, Josh and Frank, this is Nick Fairbanks. Kind of wanted to chime in on possible trade dilemmas. So my idea for the team right now is that looking at the roster, we really do need a left-handed defenseman, considering the inconsistencies with Mike Matheson this season. Riley Stillman's actually been our most consistent left-handed defenseman, considering he's a second-year pro. Looking at the possible trade rumors that are out there, I would say that the Panthers need to go after Alec Martinez or Brendan Dillon. More or less on Brendan Dillon, if they can get a contract extension with him, I would be okay with trading away Mike Hoffman, Nordstrom, and maybe a second or third rounder for him. But if we were able to get Alec Martinez, I'd be okay with Hoffman, Borg, and a first. Mainly Hoffman, just because we haven't been able to really see any kind of contract negotiations. He's obviously given the team a list of teams that he would like to move to, if he were traded. And Borgstrom, unfortunately, has lived up to the billing when he was drafted. I know he's a prospect, but this year it just seems like he hasn't taken the next step. So, those are my thoughts. If we can get that left-handed defenseman, I think that'll shore up a lot of things. And on top of that, I think it would be an awesome pairing for Aaron Ekblad.
Okay, so some great thoughts there. I like we'll get to his trade suggestions here in a second, Frank. But I like what Nick's had to say about Riley Stillman. I think that's a great point. Riley Stillman really has been probably the best left-handed defenseman for the team in the last stretch here. What do you think? Do you put a lot of stock in the left hand, right hand thing? I know that's become more and more popular. Make sure that you have matching pairs on your defense. Do you put a lot of stock in that?
As you know, being a traditional hockey fan, I've always thought it makes sense to have one, you know, a left-handed guy playing on his strong side and a right-handed guy playing on his strong side. Sometimes you see more and more often where you've got a righty playing on the left side or even a lefty playing on the right side. And a lot of guys can do it. A lot of guys can do it very, very well. But yeah, I like to see one of each. It just seems to be more balanced and a lot more natural. And Stillman has played very, very well. It's weird because when he first came up and his first little go-round, and I don't remember exactly how many games he played. It might have been two. He didn't really look as good as he did in training camp. But then he got sent back to Springfield, and on his return recall, he's looked significantly better this go-round. So good on him for stepping up and looking like he belongs. He's gotten a lot more comfortable. I think it helps that he's been playing with Anton Strahlman, you know, kind of giving him that veteran presence on the other side and keeping him calm. And I think that's definitely worked to the Panthers' advantage.
Well, I think that's part of it. But I haven't always put as much stock in the left-hand, right-hand thing. I mean, obviously it's preferable for guys to play on their strong side. It doesn't always mean that it's necessary. If you have a really good player, they're going to figure out how to be effective in whatever role you ask them to play. But I do agree that we need to upgrade on defense regardless.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about that yesterday. I think there's some interesting thoughts there. Not just what Nick said, but there's also been some thoughts even floated out by Elliot Friedman today in his 31 Thoughts about Mike Hoffman possibly being on the move for the Florida Panthers. We talked about yesterday there was a rumor that Mike Hoffman had already submitted his no-trade list to the Florida Panthers in December. The Panthers may be looking to trade Hoffman. He is a free agent after the season. There was some talk about the St. Louis Blues possibly being a destination for that. Maybe we'll see another interested party emerge. Of course, the Panthers kind of have to make a decision here between Hoffman and Datanoff and decide what they want to do. All of that to say, I like Nick's suggestion about the possibility of pursuing one of the West Coast defensemen that might be available. Alec Martinez has been the one that seems to be on the tip of the tongue. And then also Brendan Dillon from the San Jose Sharks, both pretty solid defenders with experience, Stanley Cup champion for Alec Martinez. So that could be something that the Panthers are looking to pursue. But, you know, there was that rumor as well about Mike Hoffman possibly becoming a St. Louis Blue. And there's some defensemen there that could come back as well. Some really good recent Stanley Cup champion defensemen that could be available if a trade like that were to happen. So what do you think, Frank? Alec Martinez, Brendan Dillon, a St. Louis Blue. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, I kind of like the idea of bringing somebody over from a Western Conference team. Just basically because I like that style of play. It's a little bit more rugged, at least in my opinion, and you're going to need that in the playoffs, and you're going to need that also for a playoff push. I've heard both those names, Dillon and Alec Martinez, mentioned, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe Martinez is on the last year of a contract, I'm not looking at cap friendly, so I can't be 100% accurate on that right now, but that might make sense. He's definitely a veteran, serviceable guy. I don't know that much about Brendan Dillon. I've seen him play a little bit, you know, so he is certainly a possibility as well. If you're looking at St. Louis, if that's an actual destination for. Who are we talking about? Hoffman. Sorry, I was trying to look up a couple guys.
Yeah, Hoffman.
Sorry about that, everybody. You know, I'm trying to look at their roster. You know, you're not going to get Alex Pietrangelo. That's their captain. He's not going anywhere. There's Carl Gunnarsson. Vince Dunn has been mentioned. Now, he's a younger defenseman, very low on the salary level. He's at $775,000. We could certainly squeeze that in. Without much problem. Robert Bortuzzo, a more physical type player, kind of, you know, he's tall, 6'4", 216 pounds. So, you know, it could be one of those three guys, maybe. It just depends. But I like the idea of any of those players potentially coming over to solidify the defense. And, I mean, if that's what it's going to take to unload a hefty contract and at least get something back of value, you know, then we have to do it. The question becomes is anybody else going to be added to that trade, and or who then takes that forward's spot?
Yeah. Well, of course, that's, you know, that's always the thing. Wouldn't it be something to see Jay Bouwmeester come back?
No.
The Florida Panthers.
No.
No. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, subtraction, addition, you know, you kind of got to figure that out, you know.
Yeah.
If you take Mike Hoffman off the roster, you know, how does that impact the scoring? How does that impact your flexibility to move guys up and down the lineup? You know, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to factor in there. I like Alec Martinez. I think he's a great player. I think he'll play a good defensive style of hockey. I don't know if we'll be able to pay the price to get a guy like that, but there's a couple options there for sure. I think that, and like I said, you know, that was what most of the voicemails were about. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen. The trade deadline looms over the National Hockey League this month as everybody's trying to figure out what they're going to do and what moves they're going to make. And so we'll have to wait and see and kind of do the whole in Dale we trust kind of thing to believe that he's going to be looking for the type of defenseman that is necessary, and he's going to look to do it without giving up too many assets in return. So hopefully he'll be able to do that. And I think any of those guys can help, because honestly, we need to upgrade somewhere. So it's really a matter of figuring out what that upgrade is going to look like. But the defense definitely needs help. And honestly, upgrading for the Florida Panthers right now doesn't even necessarily mean a quality upgrade. It might just mean a change. You know,
right.
It just needs to be a change up. And
right.
So well, it should be interesting to see.
You know, we know that they definitely need some help. And I did have a chance to look up Martinez. Actually, I was mistaken. He's at $4 million for this year and for next year. He's 32 years old, and he is a right-handed shot. So,
yeah. Which, I mean, that doesn't help with the handed issue. But
right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely an experienced guy. He's a solid defensive defenseman. You know, I think he's got a little bit of offensive upside here and there. So, you know, I would not mind that trade, having him come over at all.
No, I think he'd be a good contributor, but
yep.
Hey, wait to see what Dale is going to do. All right, Frank. Well, we've got a game tonight. Enough talking about trades, not talking about possibilities. Let's talk about what's on the horizon. Tonight, the Florida Panthers taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. And before we jump too far into it, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to be there tonight at the game.
All right.
And excited to be there. Because of that, unfortunately, all good things sometimes come to an end, Frank. And because I'm going to be at the game tonight, we are not going to have a Friday show.
The streak is over.
I know.
Just
four in a row.
It.
I know. But we'll be back on Monday.
Yep.
Don't worry. But no Friday show this week, because I'll be at the game and I'm going to be really tired and I don't want
to
do it.
And I have a meeting that I have to go to, and I'm going to miss a good portion of the game. So our analysis will be pretty shady.
Exactly. So we're going to have a good time tonight, though,
yep.
Against the Vegas Golden Knights, coached by former Florida Panthers superstar coaching prospect Petro DeBorealis.
Can you believe that he is already on his fourth team as an NHL head coach?
Crazy. But what I can't believe more than that is who he replaced. Gerard Gallant, a couple weeks ago, being fired by the Vegas Golden Knights and replaced by another former Florida Panther coach, Pete DeBoer. Of course, we all got our own taste of DeBoering hockey when he was the head coach of the Panthers. He still maintains a residence here in South Florida. In fact, I think he was here in Broward County when he got the news that he had received the Vegas job. So big shakeup there for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And here we are about to have our first meeting with them since that move. Thoughts about tonight, Frank? What should we be looking for?
And before I get into that, just to let everybody know, while DeBoer replaced a former Panther coach in Vegas, Gerard Gallant, DeBoer's predecessor in San Jose was former Panther coach Bob Bugner. As the world Crazy. Turns. Anyway, Vegas comes to town with a record of 27-21-7. As of the time we are recording this, that's good enough for third in the Pacific. On the road, 13-11-4. Not bad. Anytime you can be somewhat close to or above 500 on the road, that's good. They're 11-5-2 within their division. And they have lost their last game. Expected to see, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury in goal, having his typical really good season, 20-13-4 record, 2.79 goals against, and a .907 save percentage with three shutouts. As for scoring, Mad Max Pacioretty leads the team, 21 goals, 27 assists for 48 points, a very quiet 48 points as far as I think I'm concerned. Mark Stone, 18 goals, 30 assists, also for 48 points. And then we've got a couple of former Panthers. Riley Smith, 42 points, 21-21. And Jonathan Marchessault, 37 points, 17 goals, 20 assists. So what can you expect from Vegas? They're fast. Another team that plays a heavy game. I seem to say that a lot because a lot of opponents do, but they do play a heavy game. So there's going to be some physicality there, but they're fast. Although they've been very inconsistent, which probably led to the firing of Gallant. Not that any of that was his fault, but I think Vegas had some higher expectations. So they felt that a move to be made, it was easier to fire the coach as opposed to trading, 20 players. So in comes DeBoer. And, they're still in the playoff hunt, of course. And it's not going to be an easy game. They're always a tough team to play against. So the Panthers need to rebound from the loss the other night against Columbus. I would expect that Bobrovsky is in goal again. And the Panthers just, need to get back to business. They need to play their game. It's their building. And don't let Vegas dictate the pace. I think the Panthers just need to get back to having a good start. Let's not play, chase the score tonight. And one thing we also don't want to do is we don't want to play, open ice hockey and have a free for all. We don't need that 8-7 game, which, this game has the potential of being. Also, don't know as of right now what the status is of Alexander Barkov. Hopefully he is getting close to being ready. If not, that top line is going to need to be really looking to find some chemistry with whoever's going to be the center. Last game it was Malgin. Before that it was Trocheck. So they're going to need to find their scoring touch back because we need some goals.
Yep, we need the goals. We need that league-leading offensive team to reemerge from the shadows and play well tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. And hopefully they will. So if you're at the game tonight, you see me, come by, say hi. And love to chat a little bit and get to know you. If you're not at the game, but you still want to chat with us, you can call us for next week's show at 954-228-0630. Again, that's 954-228-0630. Make sure you check out PantherParkway.com, your source for Florida Panthers information. Hey, guess what? We don't usually mess up the scores. So, come by, check it out. It's a pretty good website. Also, we've got at Panther Parkway on Twitter. You can follow along for a lot of fun that we have there covering the Panthers. You can follow Frank at Frank Rikus, and you can follow me at Josh_LOPanthers. All right. Well, for this edition of Locked On Panthers, I'm Josh.
I'm Frank.
Thank you for listening.